The Neutral.
Hey everyone, welcome to the first episode of The Neutral. I'm your host, Amanda Stevens. For those of you who don't know, The Neutral is going to be an FGC podcast where I interview people, whether it be, you know, pro players across, you know, everything from Street Fighter to Tekken to Smash to any game in between. And we'll also be trying to, you know, highlight people in the community, you know, TOs, content creators, you know, people who take photographs. You know, we're going to try to focus on everyone that we can. And this week, we have Endemic Shine. If y'all don't know, Shine is an Ibuki main playing Street Fighter V. You may have seen him in the Street Fighter League each week on Team Gale with Nukudu as his captain and fellow teammate Rob TV. And, you know, you might have seen him mixing people's shit up, you know, either on NLBC for Wednesday Night Locals, or you probably have seen him on the Capcom Pro Tour, right? So I'm going to get Shine on, and, you know, let's see if we can get this call going. So we're going to go to the loading screen. And give me a second. All right, so we've got Shine. Let's see if it comes up for you guys. Yep, we got a Shine. How's it going, my dude?
All right, just making sure it's unmuted. Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, you know. First episode of the show, so far nothing has broken. So, you know, it's already a good show.
I'd say it's like a very good start.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who told me that you tend to break things, so I'm like really worried now about the first episode.
You know, I was super worried when you said it was your first episode. I'm like, man, you chose really the wrong guy for the job. But, you know, everything's working good, you know, fingers crossed. And, yeah, should be good.
All right, so I'm going to start with the easiest question possible, which is why Shine? Why is your handle Shine?
That is a good question. And if I had a great answer for you, I would let you know. But, I mean, so the name came from, like, you know, back in the day when I used to play, like, Gears. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what the trend was for, like, online shooters back then, but, like, it was to pick any name, like any name out of the dictionary, anything, and to dress it up in I's and O's. So my initial gamer tag after I made the name Shine was like O space Shine, double I's, you have two I's, and then O, so space O. So that was actually my name back then, back when I was playing a lot of Gears, before I got into Street Fighter. And that's kind of how, I just kind of kept the name since then. I got rid of the I's, dropped the O's, and now it's just Shine.
All right, so you know, you brought up Gears. So, you know, how did you get from playing, like, Gears, which I assume was, like, relatively casually, to, like, playing fighters? What was your first fighter?
My first fighter competitively, like, you know, seriously, was Street mm-hmm. Fighter 4. I got into it because, like, you know, my friend came over. He's like, yo, I got Street Fighter 4. And I remember playing Street Fighter 2 when I was younger. And, you know, I just kind of like, oh, Street Fighter 4? And I looked up videos. I'm like, oh, this looks fun. So I went over there, I played it, and I was like, I don't know, I kind of just fell in love with the game. Like, and because they made the game easier, like, stuff that was, like, really hard for me back in Street Fighter 2 was so much easier to do in Street Fighter 4, like shoryukens and, you know, just, like, maybe it was because I was older, or maybe it was because of the execution barrier getting lower in Street Fighter 4. But anyway, that was, like, a huge reason why I just loved the game. Like, stuff I couldn't do before, I got to do, but it was, like, so new and fresh. So I just kind of, like, got addicted to the game over time, and I probably got the game like 2 months after he showed me that, and like, I don't know, it just kind of like snowballed from there, and like, here we are, like, what, 9-10 years later.
So. Yeah, I mean, so, but like, all right, so you started playing casually, right? You know, your friend got you hooked onto Street Fighter 4, gave you that crack, but like, yeah. how did that translate into you going like, I think I can mix kids shit up on like a competitive level?
I think when my Gears teammates, because I used to play like online, I don't know how many people are familiar with game battles, but we used to play online, like MLG game battles. It was like a free ladder and everything. But I think when I started spending so much time playing Street Fighter 4 to the point where I got pretty much kicked off my team because they found out I was appearing offline, to play Street Fighter, and they found out. I definitely got kicked off. But I think after that, when I realized that, like, you know, after a while, I was playing so much, and I was playing like an underrepresented character, Gouken at the time, and I was just playing and playing, and I kind of realized that I was winning and winning a lot more. And I think people at the time were telling me, you know, I had a couple of friends online, Xbox Live, were telling me, you know, if you're in New York, you should go to this tournament. At the time, it was Battlefield Arcadia. Mm-hmm. It was called. They used to hold it like bi-weekly every Sunday. I remember it was held by, you know, the guys over at EMP, Triforce, you know, back in the day. So yeah, I think at that point when I realized, I don't think I ever knew that I was gonna be like a good player. It was kind of just like, you know, I kind of just want to go to this tournament and just kind of like see what I could do, and you know, it was fun.
All right, now, I don't know if you can remember this far back, but when you went to your first local, did you like O2 pretty easy, or did you know, hold your own?
Oh no! So I think it was a, I think I caused a pretty big uproar at my first tournament. It was a, because the Battlefield Arcadia was like pretty big back then. It was like, you know, you got to see all the East Coast talent. It was kind of like the Battle Circuit before Battle Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
It was streamed by Seb from Frame It. Was it Frame Advantage? Huh. I'm trying to remember the name. I think it was Frame Advantage. It was Seb from Frame Advantage, anyway. And you know, it was a big stream because like I streaming wasn't too big yet. Within the FGC, I think only a certain amount of people could really like do it on that level that Seb was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you got to see all the East Coast talent, and you know, when I went there. I was, you know, I think I was getting destroyed by, like Iwasan's Dan and like, and Chris Hughes Sakura. Like I was getting like destroyed in casuals when the tournament started. Oh, yeah, I did pretty well and I got second. And back then, it wasn't like you see it a lot more now, but back then it wasn't too common to see like, you know, controller like pad players. Mm-hmm. And I was a pad player playing an underrepresented character on a stream for a lot of people to see, so it kind of caused an uproar. I think I got second. Sanford destroyed me in grand finals, like 6-0. So, but good times, taking me down memory lane real quick. But yeah, it was great. All
right, so like, you know, this is sort of the thing that I think a lot of people struggle with when they get into fighters, is they're like trying to figure out like how they go from, you know, playing at home to going to their local if they have one, and then, you know, deciding to go to something bigger, you know, a combo breaker or Defend the North or something like that, you know, because we're New Yorkers here, so Defend the North is one of our biggest major events. So, like, when you started realizing that you were doing good at these locals, was it sort of just, like, a natural progression for you to, like, you know, say, all right, I think now I can, you know, beat people at, like, a higher level?
It actually wasn't a natural progression at all. I think I stopped going to like events like that because like I had school the next day and I was like, you know, I really don't want to bank all of this when I'm probably going to lose. And you know, I had that mentality that a lot of people have where it's like you don't go because like, yeah, I'm probably gonna lose anyway. So I'm like, I'm just gonna chill out over here, you know, chill on my sofa and like chill. But yeah, it wasn't a natural progression for me at all. I didn't start traveling a lot until like probably like 2 years ago. I probably didn't go to my first out of state tournament, and that's only Philly. A lot of people from New York don't even consider that an out of state experience, but because like it's really close. But for me, that was my first like out of state like major event. Was like, I think it was like Summer Jam. Yeah, it was Summer Jam. Yeah, so for me it wasn't a natural progression, but I mean, for a lot of people, they kind of like share that same sentiment, which was probably one of my biggest mistakes. So if you actually want to go to an event, then just go and enjoy it.
All right. So, I mean, now you're a big boy, right? Like you got sponsored by by Endemic,
yeah,
which is, you know, sort of a relatively like newer esports org. And you're also in something, I think it's called like the Street Fighter League.
Yeah,
you know, on Team Gale with some has-been knuckle dude, some guy named Rob TV.
I got these bones on my team. But don't worry, I'll carry them to victory.
I mean, I don't know, man. That jury, while it looks pretty okay, you know, it's not carrying anybody right now.
All right, hold on. First of all, I did not come on the show to have my jury disrespected like this, and for you to have, for you to spew lies to the public like that. That's very disrespectful. But my jury is actually the best thing since sliced bread. I don't know if you've seen Just a Kid, but I've seen him in my stream a couple of times taking notes. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, no, my jury looking crisp. You know, we had a little bump in the road last week, but you know, we'll be all right.
I mean, all right, you know, you're trying to talk about Just a Kid, but I mean, like, Just a Kid, like, hard carrying in Team Psycho with his jury.
Hey.
I don't see you hard carrying Team Gale with your jury. I'm just being honest, fam. We can go back to the footage.
All right. My jury held its own, all right? My jury's out here putting in work, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to carry because I have, you know, outstanding teammates that pull their weight. So my jury doesn't have to smoke everybody. But, you know, when you need her to get the job done, she's there.
Okay. I mean, so here's a question for you. Because, you know, everybody has their own take on the ban system for the Street Fighter League. You're currently competing in it. And I'm just wondering, like, what do you think about bans?
So far, and this will probably be an unexpected take, considering my position, because right now I'm definitely like one of the prime targets for the ban. I think so far, you know, the two teams we play, they both banned my character specifically. So, but even despite that, I actually like the ban system. Ooh. I think me personally, I would make a bit of tweaks to the system, but, I like the ban system because, I don't know, you don't, there's very few people that are willing to play their secondaries that are actually really good. Like, Punk is one of the few people that will actually sit down and play a secondary in a high-profile tournament. But you won't see that from a lot of players. You won't see that they're actually talented with other characters until you put them in a position where they have to play those characters in a high, you know, in a tournament setting. So I actually like the ban because, like, I actually can play jury, and, like, I don't have to go through the whole hurdle where it's like, you know how, like, when you lose with a character and you're like, you know, I should just pick my other character. Now I don't have the option to actually pick my other character. So I can, like, put my all into jury without worrying or having, like, the whole mental thing going on in my head where, like, man, if I had a Buki, then it would be different. The fact is that I don't have a Buki, so it makes me play jury with a bit, like, you know, with a bit more freedom, like mental freedom. And I kind of like.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's super interesting because even though Dew hasn't gotten banned, right? We're not seeing Dew play his more traditionally known main. So, like, he hasn't played Guile yet. He hasn't played Mika. He's been sticking to his Cammy. I think one of the interesting things, and I don't know, maybe you have the same opinion, especially for what you said about bans. That seems like everybody's kind of using it as, like, a training camp for, like, their secondaries. Because there are a lot of people, you know, with the exclusion of, like, Justin when he actually gets Manat. Like, a lot of people look like they want to play their secondaries. They want to see if they can play their secondary in this, like, top-tier situation.
Yes. it's funny that you mentioned about Justin finally getting his Manat. It's actually just a running joke now about, like, how their pick, I always thought Team Psycho's pick was very, very interesting to ban Karen. But it's pretty funny. But no, I mean, as far as, like, you have a lot of talented people, like, already playing multiple characters. You have me, I have a secondary. You know, it does kind of suck for certain people that play, only play one character, like Idom. People only play one character, like Toy, but you actually can see, the thing that's cool is that, you know, even with these character specialists, when they're forced to play another character they don't know how, you can actually see the progression when they play. Like, you know, Toy's Birdie was, you know, vastly different and did a lot better week two than it did week one. And I think that's
week one Birdie for Toy's was I mean, your jury looks better than his Birdie. I can at least say that.
I've been playing jury a much longer time. I feel like it's a little disrespecting my jury, but it's fine. I'll let it slide. All
right. So, like, you know, I think you're on a team that a lot of people think is going to do well in the Street Fighter League. You know, I think a lot of people have your team. Punk was at Team Inferno, and then like, you know, I personally pick IDOM's team as the third best team because I think, well, so here's my reason. I feel like if you're banning Laura, you're forgetting about Samurai's Akuma.
Yes.
And I feel like eventually people are going to remember that like Samurai is like one of the strongest North American players and like has been playing Akuma. And like, if you're just going to let him pick Akuma, he's just going to run a train on you. So I've got that as my tier list. Now, you good. So I guess what I want to know is like, what's a team that like you think is a lot stronger than, you know, like I'm giving credit or like Ultra David or James Chen? Like, who is somebody that you think we're all sleeping on?
Team Frost, by far. And I think, and I'm not saying that just because we got smoked last week. I'm saying that because I thought this for a while. I always thought that the way the drafting system worked, that Nephew would have a very solid team. And he picked two very good players that not a lot of people probably know that are very good. Like, Up to Snuff is very good Nikali from West Coast. And Dual Kevin, a very good Marvel player, like, you know, his origins from Marvel. But, you know, even in this game, if you've ever played him or if you've watched him play, he's actually very good. And he plays, like, really solid. Like, I actually give credit to him, you know, because I played with him a lot. Before I went to final round, I had to play John Takuchi. And that helped me a lot, actually, playing against John, his particular style. So I think Dual Kevin and Up to Snuff are actually really good players. And Nephew, actually, on his own, as you could see by us all getting smoked by a secondary.
I didn't want to say anything. Look, I'm only going to smoke you about one thing. I'm not going to roast you the whole episode, I promise.
Yeah, but Nephew actually is a very good player, and he's a very good player with two characters. So, you know, they have a very strong captain, and they have a very strong team behind that captain. But even though, you know, you might not be too familiar with the players, but I feel like as the show goes on, I think they'll do very well, and I think we'll get to see how strong like that team actually is.
All right. Now, you know, you're not the only character specialist who's like played their secondary more than their primary. Do you think now that you've been doing the Street Fighter League that we might see you playing Juri more at like higher level events?
Absolutely not.
Wow. You, first of all, hold up, chat. You remember how he was telling me I should not be picking on him and his Juri too much. And then the second I give this man the time to say that his Juri is clean, right? That's when he's like, nah, we 100% going back to Ibuki.
Oh, no. But listen, I love me some Juri. I think my Juri is one of the best in the biz. But I think Ibuki is just too good to not play her in a high profile setting, and she is a much less stressful character to play officially than Juri is. And you know, Ibuki just got that style to her that I love, you know. She's a lot of fun to play. I can't consistently have fun the same way with Juri that I can Ibuki right now, and you know, that might be for some obvious reasons. Maybe it's because how good the character is, but you know, I like really good cheap characters, sue me.
Alright. I mean, that's fair. So I guess here's the question, because you said you started with Goki, right? Goken in Street Fighter 4. So like, how did we get to like a heavy mix-up oriented character like Ibuki? Because you went from like a Shoto character, right?
Goken, it was weird. People kind of consider him a Shoto just because he like trained Ryu and Ken, but he didn't really have the traditional Shoto tool set. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I get what you're saying. He was more like zone heavy, like, you know, more fundamental base, and Ibuki's like, you know, scum lord. So I think from Goken, I started with Goken. Goken was really fun. I miss him. But I think after AE I picked up Yang, and I kinda was getting into a lot of Yang. I didn't switch over to maining Yang yet, but around the end of AE 2012 to Ultra, I think I finally made the full-on switch to Yang. And, you know, he's a very – I find out that as a player, I like having a lot of mobility. I like being safe, and I like having a lot of options, and I also like rushing down more than I like playing a bit more defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think Yang was kind of like the transition period where I went from, you know, Gouken, who's a zoner, to Yang, who's more a bit, he's like more footsie, more, he's still offensive, but he's a bit more footsie oriented than his like brother, Yun. But I liked having the options as Yang. And when I finally went over to Street Fighter V, I started with Karen. Karen's really, really mobile, does a lot of damage. She has good options, good rushdown. And then eventually I finally switched to a Buki, and a Buki kind of has that same thing to her, but she has that kind of like style and flair and mobility that I really like. So.
Okay. So you just like being a terrible person is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. I mean, like that's fair. So like, all right, we know that you got the pocket jury. We know that you're a filth lord. I mean, you're not as bad as Cammy players. But you know,
I think I'm worse
than Cammy players.
A Boogie is definitely much more scumpy than Cammy is.
All right, but like, let's say that the Street Fighter League had two bans, and people were like, all right, this guy's got a jury, let's get rid of the jury and get rid of the Abuki. Is there like a secret third character that isn't Karen? Like, are you secretly like another Abigail player? Because so far it sounds like all you do is play cheap stuff. So, like, Abigail seems to fit that.
Well, I mean, I don't think I would go the cheap route as far as Abigail. But, I mean, I play Colleen on the side every now and then. So, yeah, I think she's still cheap. So, yeah, I'm still fitting the bill. And you can ban all my characters. You can't ban the cheap.
All right, so fairness is not in Shine's FGC vocabulary is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely not.
We don't do fair characters over here. We only do I'd say top five. Yeah. Five or up. Yeah. We only do five characters over here now.
Okay, so like, all right. So this is always something that's interests me. It's like, you know, Justin's really known for his like turtling and like zoning style. And you're saying here that you like really like, you know, sort of the cheap stuff, high mobility. What is it about that sort of like, Why do you gravitate towards that, you know, over like playing a grappler or, you know, like Justin playing sort of a zoning sort of, you know, neutral base character? What is it about sort of that sort of high mobility mix up that like you gravitate towards?
I think it's just from me. I think it's just a lot of pent up resentment over the years of me playing Gouken, just kind of getting abused for a while. So I think, you know, after playing about 5 years of just getting abused from like folks' attacks or just really bad matchups, like Gouken versus Yun was not fun. Gouken versus Cammy, Rose, like all that. I don't like playing matches where I feel helpless. So like when I play these high mobility and mix-up characters, it's like, you know, I can have all the elements of a good player. Like I can play neutral. I can like, you know, play defensive, but I like having the option of being able to play both defensive and having the tools to actually play defensive and having the tools to also rush down. Like I like having all the tools for every situation. And I feel like when characters like playing Gouken, I didn't feel like I had that with all the, like, again, with every matchup, I didn't feel like I had that. I had to kind of like just be at the mercy of some matchups. Whereas with characters like Yang or Buki, I never feel completely lost. I feel like I can always look back and I know that there was an answer there. And even if I don't see it now, as long as I keep studying, like it'll be there.
All right, you actually brought up an interesting thing because you're saying, you know, you're talking about studying. What is your, like, day-to-day training like these days?
I like to play. I think I just like to play when I feel like playing. So my hours that I actually play may vary, but I try to aim for at least, like, 3 or 4 a day, even on, like, a day where I don't really feel like playing that much. But it can vary anywhere. Like, when I really feel like playing, I can play, like, 8 or 10 hours, but like on an average day, I feel like I aim for more like 3 or 4, because I like, you know, I like this. I feel like after a while, my back hurts too much. I have to take too many breaks. But yeah, I'd say on average, like probably like 3 or 4. And then if I'm not actually playing, I like to just watch like streams, or I like to watch like high level replays of like Fujimura and Shien to see like there's a little bit, like, little things that I can take from, like, their Buki and, like, apply it to mine. So.
So when you say you play for, like, 3 to 4 hours, especially on, like, days that you're not feeling it, is that a lot of, like, you know, sitting and, like, playing, sitting and, like, doing lab work? Or are you, like, playing, like, you know, are you setting up net play with people? Like, what does that actually look like? Because a lot of people say, you know, oh, I play for 5 hours, or I play for 6 hours. But, like, what does that actually look like?
No, I have to play against people. Like, it's, Street Fighter V isn't a game like, excuse me, it's not a game like Marvel, where, like, you can spend, like, hours and hours in training mode. It's like, at least for me, I can't spend hours and hours in training mode for Street Fighter V. Like, if I have something I want to test, then I'll go to training mode. If I have, like, if I want to just, like, you know, if I'm looking or trying to, like, figure out something, then maybe I'll stay in there for probably, like, 30 minutes max. But I can't stay in Street Fighter V training mode too long, so I'll probably play, like, ranked match, or I'll play a... Ideally, I like to set up matches with good players that I know and just set up a battle lounge, just grind out each matchup that I can.
All right, so, like, who's your go-to... So, like, all right, because this is sort of based on a question I got from the community. When you're preparing, let's say, for, like, Combo Breaker's coming up, right? So I'm assuming you're doing some type of practice leading up to Combo Breaker. When you're doing that, are you like, all right, this matchup is super weak, so I'm going to try to hit up this specific person? Like, what does that tournament prep look like?
So assuming that the brackets are, like, you know, presented to us at a reasonable time, I'll look through my bracket and I'll look at my projected road, just in case through winners, mm-hmm. Winner side. I'll look at my projected road and all the people I may face. And, you know, I'll have a mental note of my head. Like, let's say I have a really good Bison player in my pool. And I'll make a mental note, like, okay, you know, I have, these are the Bison players that I can play. I can play Toy. I can play Tampa Bison. I can play, and I have to think about which players I can play within a reasonable connection. So I have to think about, like, East Coast. So I'll think about Bison players that I have to play, and I'll invite them, or I'll message them and see if they want to play. And I'll just kind of, like, grind out the matchup and see what it's like. I'll do research on that specific Bison player, and I'll try to find a Bison player that probably that's probably closer to his specific style, and I'll just kind of, like, go from there. So that's kind of, like, how I train, and I'll do that for multiple characters, for everyone that's in my pool that I'm really worried about, or within my road to, like, top 32, top 8. So that's pretty much what I'll do.
Okay. So this is also sort of a community question. When you're playing, do you have, like, a roadmap in your brain? Like, all right, I'm playing against Cammy, so I want to start with this and then do this and then do that? Or do you just kind of, like, let it rock as you play against that player? So, like, let's say you're playing against, like, Alex Myers.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a roadmap as to how you want to sort of have a flow chart for how you want that matchup to go? Or do you just, like, keep in mind, like, what your options versus his Cammy are?
It is a combination of both. And sometimes you just have to be kind of, it'll depend if I know who I'm playing against. So, like, let's say for a Cammy player that I know is, like, really aggressive, or a Cammy player where I know certain tendencies that they might have. Like, let's say, for example, I'm playing against, like, Dan Slip or something.
Okay.
And I know Dan Slip, his movement sometimes is very unpredictable. So for me, a lot of the time, my strategy will be like, okay, well, I'll just kind of, like, have to wait and see what he does and try to react to it. Whereas, there will be other players, like, let's say a Cammy player like Gamer B, where it's like, okay, I kind of have to take the initiative a bit more, and I might have to, like, save my meter and do Jumpy Ace Kunai to get in, because I won't win on the ground, but I still have to play the ground game, so I have to kind of, like, move forward and, like, actually fight him back on the ground. So there's different strategies depending on the player, which is why I have to, like, a lot of times I have to look up exactly who I'm playing against and see how they play, and then find a player that kind of, like, is closer to that style of play. Because I won't play Gamer B to prepare for Dan Slip, and I won't play Dan Slip to prepare for Gamer B.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. All right. So I guess... because you know we've been at this for like half an hour now. So I have the last couple of questions for you. So my first one is, you know, who is somebody right now that you've been struggling with, and you're like hoping you can break through the demon? Like who is your demon right now?
Oh, dude, by far. it's not even a question. I can't. Some of the things he does blows my mind. It makes me so angry. No matter like what I'm like when I'm playing him, like it makes me so angry. And he understands how I think. He knows exactly how to upset me while we're playing. And he'll do it on purpose. No matter how high profile, he'll do the specific thing just because he knows that it'll annoy me. And it does. And he has a very good grasp on how I think. So, and we play a lot, so he understands me very well. So when we do play, I have a lot of difficulty playing against him, but we'll work on it. His time's coming. For now, he's my teammate. We're working towards a common goal. So the next time I see him in tournament, that's it.
I mean, so you say that like he knows your tendencies. I feel like you should know his by now.
I should, and I do. It's just very difficult to take advantage of because he is, you know, he is definitely a world-class player. He's very good, and he knows the Ibuki matchup very well. Certain people are just, it's weird how some minds work, match up, but certain people just have trouble against a specific person because they know exactly how they think. Like, there are bad matchups on paper, like character matchups, and then there are bad player matchups. And I think he gets that, and he understands how to take advantage of my weaknesses as a player more so than I know how to take advantage of his weaknesses. So I do understand his weaknesses because we do play a lot, but I think he's much better at exposing my bad habits and my weaknesses as a player.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So now, do you know if you're somebody's demon? Like, has anybody been up, like, come up to you and been like, yo, I for the life of me cannot beat you?
Let me think. I think Jessica has told me outright that he has a lot of difficulty, and with some of Ibuki's mix-ups in specific, he blocks the wrong way every single time. So I think he just outright told me that one time. I was like, yeah, I just have a lot of trouble.
Okay. Now this is I don't want you to take the weak way out. I'm letting you know right now that if you give me a soft answer, you're gonna get roasted for it. Is there anybody when you look at the bracket where you're like, oh man, this is gonna be so free?
Oh man, okay.
Ooh. Like I said, if you soft answer me and you're like, oh nah, everybody's a challenging opponent, I will legit, it'll be over. We will end the stream right here. Don't you give me no softness.
All right. I have to think. All right, give me a second. Put me in the hot seat. All right, this is definitely a hot seat question. Well. So. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a couple names.
First one that comes to your brain.
The first one that comes to my brain. All right. Yeah. Well. All right, so.
Now you can't preface. Just say it. I know there's someone there because I can see it in your face.
Oh man! All right, so he's gonna be so pissed. But I can kind of like look at the bracket and you know, if I see, and I know that he hates fighting Ibuki too, which helps me a lot. He struggles a lot against Ibuki, mm-hmm. but yeah, I can. I would say it has to be Sanford. Although, please let me prefix this. He has a lot of trouble with Ibuki, and I know that he does. He has a lot of trouble with me as a player too, which is interesting because it used to be the reverse back in Street Fighter 4 for a long time. When I played Gouken for a while, I had a lot of difficulty with him. But now it's kind of the reverse, and he has a lot of difficulty with Ibuki. So, but even then, the reason why I didn't want to—it's hard for me to answer that because even then, when I see Sam from the bracket, it's like it's not in my head that it's like, all right, it's gonna be a free win. It's like, it's still hard to fight him. Like, when I play him, majority of the time I win, but a lot of the time it's still close calls. So I can't really say that, like, it's 100% free. It's just like, I think a lot of time it just comes down to, like, I just guess right. And I just end up guessing right a lot, apparently.
I mean, I'll let that slide. I'll let your preface slide. You know, this I'm here to start drama, you know.
Apparently, putting me in the hot seat.
I mean, like, the FGC is kind of like, you know, wrestling, right? So, like, there's got to be beefs. Everybody tries to pretend like they're all friends, and we know that's not true. We know we're not all friends, right? We're family, but we don't love everybody in our family.
Oh, absolutely. Know that,
right? So, like, I'm here to stir the pot a bit.
Yeah, you got that one cousin you kind of just don't want to hang around with, but you kind of have to because they're family.
Right, so I feel like, you know, it's okay to want to stir the pot a bit.
All right. I don't hate him. I actually play him a lot. He's a good training partner. I'm normally ready for the Zeku matchup because I play him a lot. So,
shout out to Sanford. That's fair. All right, so, you know, let's start to wrap this up. What is one character that you will never ever touch?
Which character I would never touch? Probably Zangief. I don't like characters like that. Big, stocky, like, characters where it's like your mobility is restricted and you have to play in a way that kind of takes risks because you know you have a lot of health to get that one hit. Mm-hmm. My mind can't process that type of play style. So I think Zangief could be definitely the character that I avoid.
All right. And, you know, I think we're living in a golden age of fighting games where there's so many good ones out at once. Is there any other game, like, you know, MK11 just came out, Dragon Ball's pretty hype. You know, is there any game right now that you could see yourself potentially putting more effort into and playing competitively?
I did play DBZ, but I stopped playing for a while. I'm actually playing MK now. I was actually playing a lot today. I think MK I'm putting a lot more time into now, learning it. It's my first... I played Injustice and Injustice 2, but it's my first NRS game that's actually Mortal Kombat. So I'm still learning how to use a block button. But, so I'm familiar with NRS games, but not familiar with having a block button, which actually isn't as bad as I thought it would be. So I'm kind of getting used to it. But, I mean, I'm putting a lot more time into MK playing it. I actually entered it at Texas Showdown, so I'll be playing. Testing my luck at Texas Showdown with MK11 and Street Fighter.
Okay. So, let's wrap this up. What are the next events people can see you at? Who are the sponsors you need to shout out? You know, all that good stuff. Do your shilling.
The next events you can probably catch me at are Texas Showdown. I think it's like May 10th and 12th. Combo mm-hmm. Breaker, I forget the exact date. DreamHack Dallas, I'm aiming for as well. I think CEO I'm aiming for. Let me check in my nugget real quick. And of course, Evo. I forget which tournaments in between are along the way, but I'll just have to check the schedule. Of course, all those events I would not be going to without the support of my sponsor, Endemic. So shout out to them. They've definitely been treating me real well since I signed with them, so that's awesome. Having a great time with them, actually.
Okay. I hear you stream sometimes.
Yep, I do. My Twitch. Yeah. So you can catch me streaming. A lot of times I stream in the early afternoon. Sometimes I stream in the evening. But normally on the weekdays I stream. But anyway, my Twitch is Shine NYC. Just straight up, just Shine NYC. If you wanted to stop by and see what I'm doing, probably play. I kind of like switch in between Street Fighter and MK11. I think most of the time I'll be playing Street Fighter and grinding MK11 off stream. Because I'm obviously more proficient. And it's easier for me to talk and play in a game that I already understand how to play. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably be playing Street Fighter on stream a lot more. So if you want to watch me play Street Fighter, then obviously tune in my stream. My Twitch name is obviously Shine NYC. So.
All right. Okay. And for you guys, we do have a community shout out. So if you're in the Atlanta area, there's Earthrealm Dojo this weekend. It's got a 1K MK11 pop bonus that's growing daily. So if you're in the Atlanta area, it's going to be on the 4th. So I believe that's this Saturday. The doors open at 2 p.m. It's going to be at Access Replay. You can find more information at smash.gg/erdojo. And if you're not able to catch it, make sure that you hit up twitch.tv/datafgc. Their stream is starting at 3 p.m. So please make sure that you guys can support some dope MK11 stuff. And also, there will be other games. So if you're not just an MK player and you're from the Atlanta area and you like Street Fighter, I think they're doing BlazBlue. I don't know all the information off the top of my head. All I got is what's on my handy-dandy notepad. But yeah, Shine, thanks so much for coming out.
No problem. And shout-outs to the ATL scene. I love those guys. They're all good players, too. As far as I know, the Street Fighter players are very good.
So. Yeah, and the Tekken House people are some of the chillest people out there. And so yeah, next...
yep. Yeah. No, I love the ATL scene. I wish my only regret when I lived on ATL is not actually going out to more ATL local. But you guys cannot make the same mistake I didn't go to Earthbound Dojo. So. Yep.
All right, and until next time, remember to go beyond, plus ultra, and peace.
All right, peace. Thanks for having me.
No problem.